Let's say you're a writer, and you might actually be a writer, and you write every day, and you know that you need all of these things to do your job, either a keyboard and a monitor, or paper and pencils or pens, and whatever else it is that you need. You have your little workspace set up. Now, let's say you're going to make filet mignon Wellington, or you're going to change the oil on the car, something that is completely opposite of your comfort zone. Where do you start? What do you do? This is where everything in order, that French phrase mise en place, comes into effect. And that's what the show is going to be about. Have you ever taken on a task that is completely foreign to you, and you had no idea where to start, how to do it, or what success looked like? Well, I had one of those experiences, and I'm going to talk about it. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 295, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Hello folks, Dan Reed here. I have been a chef most of my life, and if I haven't been doing that, I've been in food. The one thing I was not was an automobile mechanic. Now, it's, you know, high school. when you've been out of high school longer than half the world's been alive, well, it becomes sort of silly to talk about it, but, you know, some things seem relevant. And so as a job in 12th grade, I worked at the local lumberyard, and one of the fellows there happened to be a very skilled and talented automobile mechanic. And so mostly I watched. And his name is John. And John just, it was like he spoke aluminum and metal and engine and stuff. And he had this sixth sense about him with engines. And so, you know, at least we knew the trucks worked. So that's been a long time, more than 40 years, and within the last couple of months, I've been having some brake troubles. So the car still stops, things do what it's supposed to do, but it could do it a little bit better. So after some investigation, we concluded that, it was me and a couple of people I talked to, that probably it's a master cylinder problem. Now, I'm pretty sure that taking the car in for a thing like that would take a couple of days and more than a few hundreds of dollars, which I'm not prepared to part with for this task. So I'm going to do it myself. So it sounds intimidating, and on some level it is. So the master cylinder is the thing. Now, you are car guys who are listening to this, I appreciate your cringe. I'm going to get a lot of things oversimplified or flat out wrong. So by no means am I offering automobile mechanic advice, except if you think you can, maybe you should, with help. So the master cylinder's job is to push something called brake fluid through the brake lines to make the brakes grab the wheel, either disc or drum, and stop your car. And what happens is, after a period of time, and everything wears down at different rates, but my car has a lot of miles on it. And things break, wear out. So the supposition is that the little rubber things inside the master cylinder that push the fluid into the brake lines with enough force to cause the brakes to grab the disc or the drum. They don't grab the drum. They push against it to stop the car. Maybe they're getting a little bit weak, and so they're not pushing the fluid as well. And what that feels like is my brake pedal's a little bit squishy. Well, squishy brake pedals are less than ideal, so we're going to fix this. So I got the part. Taking it off, it's really quite simple. If you lift up your hood, it's this aluminum thing sticking out from a little bump. I think it's called a bolster. And it has a little reservoir on top for liquid. And there's two lines coming into it, one on one side, one on the other, maybe on the bottom. That's the master cylinder. That's the part that makes the car stop. So taking it off is really fairly simple compared to, say, taking apart a transmission, which I'm not going to do. With my friend John knew a guy at a junkyard. So it took me almost an hour to sledge a transmission apart. So I know they don't come apart easily or go to back very easily. And there's a ton of little witty-bitty pieces in there. Not made bigger because I smashed it with a hammer. So undo the brake lines, undo the bolts, fastening it to the car. Master cylinder comes off and it's going to leak because it's got brake fluid in it. So put it in something. Put the other one on, goes on. Sometimes, and I learned this, there can be, on the threads inside the master cylinder or any other thing, a little teeny piece of metal that stops the screw or the bolt, or whatever the screwing part's called. It stops it from going in. And I have enough sense to not just crank on it and make it go, because if that strips the line, then my $185 master cylinder is now just a fancy paperweight. So I'm not a complete moron. So I knew not to do that. Talked to John, figured it out. That was the problem. Went back on. Everything is smooth and easy. So I saw a YouTube video. So now this is just recanting the story. Then we'll go through the mise en place part. I watched a couple of YouTube videos. One guy made it look really simple. Wow, it's a 4-minute video. This could be done. I can do this. And I had confidence. So I got the master cylinder on. I got the brake fluid in there. And John says, okay, now you have to bleed the brakes. But that's not what the guy in the video did. You have to bleed the brakes. Okay. So that can mean, and in my case it did mean, taking the tires off, not all four at one time, because I have the stupid little jack. Now, some of you are probably fairly young and don't know that the jack isn't this stupid little cranky thing that looks like a scissor lift, a super miniature version of a scissor lift with only one height, or one lift part. There used to be, and I don't know what the name of this jack is, but it used to go in the, used to connect it to a little slot on the bumper, and it would go click, 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 and it would jack the car up. I mean, baby, this thing went up. Well, I don't think you can even find a car, new car, that makes that jack anymore. And boy, those things were nice. Well, anyway, so I had this stupid little scissor lift thing. I got it up, got the wheel off, put bricks under that, the metal parts, I don't know what those are called. So I could take the other tire off, so I could do two at the same time. So on the back side of the brakes, there's this little tiny screw that has a little spout on it. And you screw that, and then the brake fluid comes out, and the plan, the goal, the intent, the purpose is to get air out of the line, because the hydraulic fluid compresses, but doesn't really compress much. It just pushes. Air will compress and give you spongy. So bled all the lines, and this is really, really fast. And test drove the car, and sort of disappointed. What I had expected was new car brake feeling, and I didn't get it. It certainly wasn't improved. It seemed almost maybe slightly not as good as what I'd replaced. So, this is frustrating. So today, today I did the back brakes, and that helped a little bit. So here's the whole thing. Again, slower. And part of this is a renewed appreciation for people who attempt cooking something that they've never cooked, or bake something that they've never baked, and the kind of anxiety, maybe nerves, maybe sense of dread. I didn't have a sense of dread, but I definitely had anxiety. There are emotions that go with doing something you've never done before, and I don't think I dismiss people like that with their concerns about cooking, because you can do it. And what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to burn the food. Well, yeah, that's a bad thing. But I just saw a video today where Julia said, you're going to fail a lot when you cook, but that's how you learn. So to start my little venture, I went to the YouTubes and watched a whole bunch of videos about replacing a master cylinder. And some of them were by shop folks, for shop folks. I'm like, no, I don't have vacuum suckers for brake lines, and I don't have a shop with a vise and all the, I don't have, no. Get the wrong audience, or I picked the wrong video. So I found, guys in their backyard, and the one I watched was, he says he's been a mechanic for a long time, but he's a backyard guy showing backyard folks how to do this. And so I had the research at least to know how to take the master cylinder off. And so in doing that, and he was pretty good, undo these screws, undo those screws, take the thing off. What he didn't explain, and this is what came through with, now I'm not inept when it comes to tools. I'm relatively handy with the small things around the house. I can change light sockets, or the outlets and light switches, and I can put ceiling fans in, and I can do stuff, just not transmissions, probably not differentials either. So I know that there's more to the job than having the right wrench, the right socket, and the new master cylinder. There's thinking about what's going to happen when I take these out. Is something going to leak? Probably. Where's it going to leak? I should put something under there to catch what might leak. What happens if I drop the nut? Well, let's have a magnet handy to reach down and grab that, because you can't just reach down over the engine way down to the bottom there. You need something to help you. And when it comes off, I'm going to put it into something. Put it into an oil pan, actually, because I just changed the oil on my daughter's moped. So visualize how I'm going to do this. Take this one off, take that one off, take those two off, lift this out, put it over here, then put the new one on. And then there's a little burr inside the threads. Like, oh, well, you don't anticipate that. Maybe I should have thought that, hey, they're going to do a less than stellar job at the factory. They're not going to blow out all the little bits in there, and I'm going to get stuck with this little thing that's going to make me crazy for 45 minutes. So next time I'll anticipate that. So the visualization, do your research. What does it take to make Beef Wellington? Are you going to make the puff pastry, or are you going to buy the puff pastry? There's steps to do, and there's things to think about. You're going to change your master cylinder. How are you going to do it? What are the steps? Visualize those steps happening. See my hands taking the brake lines off, taking the screws off the bolster, which probably is the wrong word, taking the master cylinder out, putting the other one in, getting stuck on the threads. And the other thing, one of the mission was, and this, if you, brake lines, they have bends and turns and all kinds of angles to them, but they're done that way on purpose because they have to go and fit around things and over and under and all this stuff. But that's done by brake line maker people. Once that's done, they don't really like to be bent. They want that's not happiness. So one big tip I learned was start the brake line threads on the master cylinder before you firmly affix it to the car. Now you can put it on the car and put the threads on, put the nuts on so that they stay on, but there's lots of room to move the master cylinder around so that the brake lines fit in just right, then tighten them down, then tighten the master cylinder onto the car. Because that way, it makes sense in my head. So because the master cylinder is doing the moving of the lines, it's equalized pressure, whereas if you use your fingers, it might bend it, and then when that happens, you crimp it and possibly create a little hole in the brake, and a break in the brake line. That's almost funny, lyrical, and that's a big problem. So I wanted to avoid that big problem. The bleeding of the lines was not something I expected because the video guy said, get this 2x4, push the brake down, push it against your seat, loosen the brake lines at the master cylinder, tighten them back up, repeat that process 5 times, and you're done. Well, my friend John said no. And this is what John knows. This is not what I know. So for you cooks and bakers, for you writers and architects and mechanics who are working on muffins, biscuits, breads, filet mignon, puff pastry, even clam chowder, and I'm a stickler for a good procedure on a recipe. I really am, and I've made that point fairly clear over various other episodes. I can't write a procedure well enough to account for every single possible contingency, and some of that learning has to be done by the cook at the stove at the moment. Now, one of the big differences in outcome is that if you burn your food, or if something is off somehow, burns bad, if it's less bad, flavors aren't right, this tested combination of ingredients didn't really work, well, all right, you're out a few dollars. Maybe everybody was only smile like, yeah, that's fine, Gladys, but really it kind of sucks. Well, okay, that's fine. Nobody died. When you're changing the brakes in your car, there's a higher risk. So they came with no small short part of nerves for me, and just this anxiety of, am I going to get this right? So I got it right. Now, the car still stops. And it's better today after the second bleed. My master cylinder reservoir looks like it holds probably a pint. It looks to be about 2 cups at the most. I would guess that the cylinder itself holds half to 1 cup of liquid. So we're at like 3 cups, a pint and a half. So I had a little bit left at the house from something else, including topping off the brake fluid before. And so I bought a quart, thinking this has to be enough. Well, it turns out it wasn't. So I need to get some more. To bleed the front brakes. And part of this particular task and any other task that you're doing that, like, say, rolling puff pastry, because that's I'm bleeding the brakes and I'm seeing the liquid come out, but then it stops, so I don't know. These are the things I don't know. Is it stopping because there's air coming out, or is it stopping because the pressure that was exerted with my helper pushing down the brake pedal has displaced the amount of fluid for that push on the pedal? I don't know. So it stopped. I closed it back up, and she let the pedal back up and pumped it a few times. We tried it one more time, and that's what I had brake fluid for. So let's say you're rolling the puff. So I didn't hear of air coming out. It sounded like a leaking balloon when you're rolling your puff pastry. All of the directions will say, roll carefully and not too thin. Thanks. The hell does that mean? Well, what that means is you have to manage the temperature. Again, what does that mean? So it's like suddenly like, oh, okay, smart guy. See, this is what we've been telling you. The reason I chose puff pastry is because you may think you're doing a fine job. You probably are doing a fine job, but puff pastry is fickle in a way that just, like so few other things, croissants and Danish maybe are the other two things that are close. The fickle isn't revealed until the thing is baked. So what can happen with puff pastry is if it gets rolled too thin, what we started with is a layer of dough and then a separate layer of butter. And those two things are put together in a particular way. So imagine you have a piece of paper in front of you, a letter, with the horizontal side at the top. So it's 11 wide, 8.5 inch high. And imagine 2/3 of that is covered with butter, with just a little bit of space left on the edges. Part of the paper that doesn't have butter, yeah, no, it's weird, is folded on top of the part that does, like a letter. And then the part with the butter is folded on top of the other part. So it's like folding a business letter with an enclosure of butter inside. And the whole idea here is that over the course of the next 4 or 5 rolls, 4 mostly, you're going to chill that block of dough with the butter so that the butter, it had to be soft enough to spread on the pastry, but now it has to be cool enough not to gush out the sides. So now we refrigerate it for about 30 minutes. Then you roll it carefully to at least double, possibly triple the size. So 24 by 33 or so. Then you fold it again, and there's different chefs have different preferences for the fold, but you're folding it again, putting it back in the cooler, bringing it out, rolling it, folding it, and doing that 4 times. And what can happen is you roll it too thin and the dough tears and breaks. And what then happens is the butter, the one up and the one below, they meet. Well, you don't know that happens until you bake it. And what happens there is it doesn't rise quite right. So there's a lot of unknown, and there's a lot of ways to know even when you're doing it, but not know. There's a lot of ways to not know whether or not you have successfully accomplished the goal. Well, so the worst thing that can happen there is you get puff pastry that doesn't rise evenly. And well, okay, so that's visually, that's a bit off, but nothing really bad happens. So nothing really bad happens here either because the car stops. So it's a win. Hey, I did good. But this mise en place thing. So having everything in place for this job required a breaker bar for the lug nuts and then the little thing in the glove box, because now it seems there's, I guess it's the anti-theft lug nut on the car. If you don't have the exact same, the right, I don't even know what that thing's called. It has a little imprint in it and it matches the, it's like a little key. It sort of slides into place, and then, only then, can you use the wrench or the breaker bar to get the lug nut off, and the other ones come off. So you need that. You need something to put the lug nuts in, because we've all seen A Christmas Story. Fudge! You need cardboard to lie on, because the ground hurts. It really does. You're going to need rags. You're going to need at least the oil pan. You probably need a few big Yorker containers, or sour cream containers, or ricotta containers, or milk jugs, or something to catch and keep the runoff and the extra stuff. You're going to need your brake fluid. You're going to need your tools. You might need bricks if you're doing more than one at a time. You're going to need chocks for the front wheels or the back wheels, depending which ones you're taking off, because better safe than sorry. So having everything in place, having everything in order, even then, it's still, am I doing this right? So with the advent of iPhone FaceTime technology, my friend John helped me through a great deal of this from 3,000 miles away. And that was, one, it was fun to talk to him. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but it was also some peace of mind from somebody I know knows what he's doing. So, if I come across on future Escoffier episodes glibly, it wasn't then, and it won't be either. Dismissive of you who are trying the new thing. I don't mean to be dismissive anyway, because more than before, I certainly appreciate the anxiety that goes with trying a new thing, that the steps along the way, the things that can go wrong, the oh crap moments can at least cause a level of anxiety on the project that you could do much better without. So I'm aware of that. And ironically, well, maybe not ironically, but when we get into the Escoffier part of I forgot exactly where there is, and I hope I can find it again, but I forgot the number. There is one particular dessert that sounds fantastic. And in the school, we tried. It was in classical French class, we tried. Holy moly, did we try. And I asked a certified master chef who taught Escoffier at the Culinary Institute. He said, it can't be done. He insisted it could. Well, he's no longer here, so I can't ask him. But I have never once had success with it, because you have to make a caramel, which gets hot. And something has to happen, and these things just don't. I want to find it again and read it and go through it, because we missed something, because Escoffier wouldn't put something in that didn't work. But man, there's something about that it's kind of a unicorn. I want to try it, but it's an unexpected outcome, a thing I've never made before, a thing I've never done before, so I don't know where to really mix metaphors. I don't know where the dragons are. I didn't know where the dragons were in my brake lines. I've learned a little bit about that. Still no expert, but I at least I know where to look. So when you're doing your corn chowder or your clam chowder or your puff pastry or Danish or croissants or I suddenly have blanked on Gordon Ramsay's famous whatever that was, Wellington. There'd be dragons. And part of the battle is knowing where they are. And part of the battle of knowing where they are is visualization, having your mise en place, everything in order, everything you need, tool-wise, and part of that is mental-wise. And some of it we learn as we go, because we don't even know where to think about that. Like air in the brake line. What does it sound like? Does it sound? Maybe it does. I've not done this enough to know the answer to that. But anyway, I was entertained enough about the similarities to make this episode. I'm not sure if maybe it's just my own fascination with seeing a similarity there, but I'm going with it. So if you're going to change your master cylinder, find somebody who knows how, just so you can at least make a phone call in case there's a little teeny burr inside the threads or something else causes anxiety. But that I think you can do. The transmissions and differentials I would probably leave to people who know more than, who know how. So that's that. There will not be a text version of this particular episode, since this was an extemporaneous talk. But when we get back to the Escoffier episode, that will, of course, happen, because I think there's some value in having a cooking reference that you can look back on. Since I'm not the expert in auto repair, there's nothing here to see. Scafia's episode will be the next one, and I'm hoping that maybe I can squeeze it out before next Monday so I can get two in between now and next Monday. And actually, I think also on... Yeah, on the 19th, the 16th, I've lost track of the days here. I'm checking my calendar here, so that's the delay, So on the 16th, I have an interview with a guest who has some... Well, it's going to be a 9/11 episode on 9/16. Because he's got unique knowledge. And I'm excited to share that with you. So, maybe one Escoffier episode before that, and then we'll do that one, and then continue. Alrighty. Well, that's enough shop talk. Ha! Get it? Shop talk. I made a joke. Maybe not. All right. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon.
Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.